Welcome back, friends. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. You are tuned into Solutions Watch, and it is July of 2024. And you know what that means. We are only 2 months away from the convening of the UN General Assembly in New York in September of 2024. Or more to the point, for the purposes of today's conversation, we're 2 months away from the convening of the Summit of the Future in New York, at which the United Nations gaggle of globalists are threatening to consolidate even more unelected, unaccountable control over the lives of everyday people all around the globe by signing something called the Pact for the Future, which they are busy cooking up behind the scenes right now. As I say, you will know all about this if you were Corbett Reports here, because I started talking about it back in 2022. I wrote an article on Here's What's Next on the Globalist Calendar, in which I announced that UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres had announced his intention to form such a summit of the future. It was originally announced for September 2023, but that was moved back to September 2024. Again, you'll also know about it from my conversation last year with Jakob Nordengaard, who was talking about the UN's apex body and some of the other crazy ideas that were coming out of these Our Common Agenda policy documents that they're cooking up in preparation for this summit. And if you want the straight from the horse's mouth, I will throw in the link into the actual United Nations UN.org link to the Summit of the Future website, so that you can go explore that and all of the documents that they have and the latest versions of the various global digital compact and declaration on future generations, etc., that they're set to sign in the coming months. But the long story short, again, directly from the UN horse's mouth, what is the Summit of the Future? The summit is a high-level event bringing world leaders together to forge a new international consensus on how we deliver a better present and safeguard the future. And long story short, they're concerned because we're not on track for the UN 2030 agenda of sustainable development or sustainable enslavement and all of the things that come along with it. So we have to get more on board with driving even further off of this technocratic cliff into the maws of this coming global government. Or at least that's what they want. But as I say, you know all about that because you are a dedicated Corbett Reporter, you're diligent researchers, you know all about the problems. But this is Solutions Watch, so we're going to concentrate on what we can do about those problems. So I have a good conversation lined up for you today with someone who is new to the Corbett Report, so we'll get him to introduce himself first. I'm talking about Dan Aston Gregory, who, as I understand it, is helping to bring about a response to the UN's Summit of the Future, specifically a summit, our summit, for our future, which will be taking place in Bath, UK, in September of 2024, from the 27th to the 29th, as part of the People's Reset, which I have talked about on Solutions Watch before, so you should be familiar with it. But let's bring him on to talk about it himself. Dan Aston Gregory, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, James. And that was such a powerful overview of the Summit of the Future. And I'm glad that your audience are familiar with what's happening, because I will say, from the UK perspective, there is virtually no one talking about this issue. And I've just come hot off the back of a campaign where we went to Geneva and protested against the WHO and their impositions that are, you know, driving towards a global health governance. So people had an awareness of what the WHO were doing in this regard, but it seems like the broader picture of the United Nations for most people is off the radar. So your powerful introduction is a pertinent reminder of that this is happening and the timeliness of this, because I think it's really important that people do pay attention to what's happening. So I really appreciate your kind introduction, not only of myself, but actually of the subject matter that we're here to address.
Yes, well, I'm glad that you bring that up, because yes, a lot of people were concerned, and rightfully so, about the World Health Assembly and what it was threatening to do there in Geneva. But that was really just one wing of this giant bird of prey that is set to sink its beak into the screaming carcass of humanity. Sorry, I don't know. It's late at night. I'm getting very poetic. But before we delve into that in greater detail, first of all, as I say, it's your first time on the program. Tell us, Dan Aston Gregory, I know a lot of people in my audience presumably will be familiar with the Pandemic Podcast, but for those who aren't, tell us about yourself, your background, who you are, where you come from, why and how you got into doing this.
Yeah, well, I've been creating content since around 2015, but in a very different way. 2020 was a defining moment for me in terms of my focus and the messages and the content that I was creating. I've always been someone who's skeptical of government, big government. And I worked in banking and finance during 07, 08, when we had the recession at that period in time. And that was the first time that I really saw corruption at a really grand scale firsthand. And yeah, and when I say firsthand, I didn't work in head office and I was nowhere near the red button or anything like that. You know, I didn't have any position of meaningful power that would have any influence over what happened during that time. But it was the first time that I really saw what happens in the face of irrational panic or despair, where people enter into this kind of Darwinian survival, fight or flight kind of mode. So it really gave me a solid understanding of how the kind of global machine works from the inside, but also how human psychology works under certain conditions. So lo and behold, when 2020 came, from very, very early on, whereas a lot of people talk about they intuitively knew that something wasn't right, and I could potentially say that was true for myself, but it was really from the outset was more of a rational assessment of what was happening. Very early in January, I was paying attention to what was happening to China, initially from a selfish perspective, because my wife and I were traveling to Asia for our honeymoon and we didn't want that to be jeopardized. But very quite clearly that the early mortality figures coming out of China showed that, you know, is people 80 plus four or five comorbidities, you know, very much in the ballpark was what you would see with any other kind of respiratory condition. And a friend of mine, actually, this is the less objective part of the story, though an important part, is a stunt actor. And he told me that when he initially saw those bodies on the floor in China who supposedly had died in the street, he said, "I can tell you categorically that's an actor, because when people actually die, they don't fall like that." Now, he didn't have any grand conclusions about why that was happening. He just simply pointed it out to me. And that was the kind of icing on the cake. And, you know, I followed the developments very closely as a result of those initial assessments. And what happened to me was, as I was going about my kind of normal business, there was this growing void between the underlying reality of what was happening in the real world and then the perception that was created in the media and through the governments. And that gap widened and widened, and the hysteria grew and grew. And I was like, here we are again. We're in moral panic. We're in fight or flight. And as a result, the public were behaving in a certain way. And in the face of that, our governments were behaving in a certain way. So I watched this unfold for several months. I dipped my toes in kind of March and put some things out on social media asking questions, and my friends and family all attacked me like I was crazy, which kind of put my kind of commentary on the situation on hold for a period of time. But then it just got to a point of breaking point when I was walking past this primary school, which is near where I used to live in Bristol. And it was closed, deathly silence. And I was so used to hearing these kids at their break time when I'd walk by, like having such fun and all this joy. And I thought, this is not right. You know, we're depriving children of their education, of their, not that I thoroughly agree with the UK education system, but that's a side conversation for another time. But more to the point of, you know, this youthful spirit was being curtailed. And then the same day as it happened, James, I saw actually some footage from Asia, which showed the children were basically put in these perspex boxes, literally boxed from each other. And I said, enough is enough. So I literally took to my phone at 10 a.m. on a Friday morning. I hit live, no planning or preparation, and I just spoke my mind for 20 minutes. And what was bizarre, having been creating content since 2015, trying to create content that reaches people, like deliberately trying to create content that is engaging and captivating, just spoke about what was happening in the world. And I'd never seen anything like it. The live numbers were going up like crazy. I was like 100 people, 300 people, 500 people, 1,000 people, 3,000 people watching. I'm talking to more people than go to the local football matches. And then by the end of the weekend, 300,000 people had watched it. And by the end of the week, 1 million people had watched it. In the comments, I was expecting to get slammed like I did earlier in the year. But no, a lot of people were saying, "Dan, you're saying what I've been thinking, but no one else has had the courage to say." And after a video like that, you know, I was left thinking, well, what do I do now? Like, how do you follow that? And I made the decision to start a podcast. And about a month later, I launched the Pandemic Podcast, literally went into Canva, wrote Pandemic Podcast on a screen. you know, and just started going live every day. And I did that pretty much continuously for 2 years and recorded over 1,000 episodes, critically evaluating it. You know, our tagline was question everything. And we were just asking questions, you know, bringing people from all walks of life to come and explore the situation. We reached over 25 million people in that time. And, you know, it was an experience I'll never forget, but it's opened my eyes in ways that I could never have imagined. It's changed my life in ways I could never have imagined. It's led me on this path today now where I not only am paying attention to what's happening, but actually paying attention to what we can do, which is why hopefully I'm here today to talk about, you know, solutions, because it's one thing having an understanding. It's another thing moving from understanding into action. And that's really what I'm most passionate about now, James.
I couldn't agree more, and that's, of course, the entire purpose and spirit of Solutions Watch, because it's great to have information and knowledge about the bad things that they, them, those are doing, but it is completely meaningless unless we take and convert that into action in the real world about things that we can do to actually change our conditions. So, on that note, you did briefly mention that you were part of, a organizer of, I don't know in what way affiliated with that anti-WHO Geneva protest during the World Health Assembly. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so as a co-organizer, so we launched an organization, or tried to, and it's an organization called Free Humanity at the beginning of the year. I say tried to because actually I was invited. I know we're going to talk about the People's Reset in a moment, but where I actually went to spend some time in Derek, I had the privilege of speaking at the event in Mexico, but I got sick whilst I was out there, and I ended up being quite unwell for about 8 weeks afterwards. But that's a sidebar. We planned to launch this organization called Free Humanity, which is a vehicle really to advance and protect our freedoms on a global level, bringing people together from across the world. Because throughout the COVID chapter, as I call it, I worked with many different individuals and organizations in collaboration to really tackle the mandates and restrictions, bringing people together to figure out how we can overcome some of these challenges and learn a lot of lessons on the way about how we can overcome our differences and personalities and, you know, break through that to really do what's necessary to address the matter at hand when it's urgent, because that's what we were facing during COVID. It was literally in your face tyranny, you know, which is why to some extent people were mobilized so effectively, is because it was that urgent, direct impact on our lives. Whereas something like the WHO treaty, which actually, on a side point, as it's I think it's the 16th of July today. Today, the WHO has reconvened again for the next stage of the pandemic treaty, but maybe we can touch on that later. But the skills that we learned as a group working together in the United Kingdom, we realized that actually we can fight the cause in our own nation. And it's important to do that because ultimately we've got political powers that can veto these types of global impositions. But nonetheless, this is now a global issue. We realize that, you know, it's beyond our borders, and therefore we not only need to collaborate amongst each other within our own nations, but we actually need to start talking to each other across borders and say, hey, how do we get a grip on some of these things that are affecting us on an international scale? So we launched Free Humanity really to bring people together from across the world. And our first project, which we announced in Mexico, was that we were going to do a rally in Geneva to raise awareness of what was happening in the buildup, but also to try and slow down or stop the rollout of this pandemic treaty and the amendments to the international health regulations. So I was a co-organizer of the project. We actually ran a pan-European convoy that took people all across Europe into Geneva. And we had an amazing rally, 50 different speakers from across the world, you know, multiple languages represented in the heart of Geneva. Our Swiss friends and partners told us it was one of the biggest rallies they'd seen in Geneva of that kind as an international rally. And, you know, those who've been to rallies in London, it pales into significance of the millions we had in the street. But from an impact perspective, and let's face it, going to Geneva is not cheap. it's expensive to travel there. But we at least raised the awareness on a global scale, reached millions of people. And there is lots more work to be done because, of course, the pandemic treaty was delayed and it's literally being talked about now. And unfortunately, the amendments were passed. But to me, it's a reflection of this rising tide of global governance and this increasing technocratic, centralized approach to almost every real and perceived issue that we're facing as a human race. So, so it was a privilege to work across multiple people from across Europe, from across Canada, America, Asia, to put together that event. And we recognize now, having done that, that we must continue to work across borders. And this, you know, this issue of the UN now coming up in September. We are talking about doing something similar in terms of a rally, but that's really on the resistance side, James. You know, it's resisting the old in a way. And at some point we, you know, as Buckminster Fuller once said, and I won't butcher the quote, but on the other hand, we need to now look forward and actually start to build, which is why the people's reset is so important, because it's actually that forward-facing, proactive change that we're looking to lay the groundwork for on a decentralized grassroots basis.
Exactly right. That's what I'm excited about. Yes, rallies are important for rallying the troops, as it were, and getting people on board and excited and letting them know that they're not alone and they're not crazy. That is important, having that sort of social coming together. But yes, again, what are you going to do with that energy? Are you going to create something? Are you going to create new organizations and communities and movements and actions? Or are you just going to get together for a day's protest and go home? So that's why I'm very excited about this idea. And as I say, people in my audience should be familiar with it, because of course I've talked to Derek Burrows many times over the years, including specifically talking about the Greater Reset, which was of course initially the response to the Great Reset agenda of the World Economic Forum. It is now the People's Reset, as I think it takes on new form and new shape as it continues to evolve. And specifically, it, as people know, it has convened a number of workshops and gatherings in Mexico and in Texas. And I've beamed in electronically to speak at the Greater Reset Conference on a couple of occasions. But now the People's Reset is becoming a truly international event. And as I said earlier, it is going to be convening in Bath in the UK from the 27th to the 29th of September. And all of the details are available at the greaterreset.org. I'm not sure if the peoplesreset.org is a URL now, so I won't give it out. Yeah, but I know the greaterreset.org will work at any rate.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. First of all, let's talk about your association or involvement with the People's Reset. How did you come to be involved with this?
Yeah, well, interesting enough, given the work that I was doing with the Pandemic Podcast, I saw, and I'm really grateful that I saw, the very first summit, which I believe was online at the first time. And I think, James, as you said, I think you were involved in the very first one. And what struck me even at that early stage, because particularly at that time, I was deep within that kind of resistance. I hadn't even stopped to think about, you know, what goes beyond that resistance, you know, what's next. It was such urgency around what must we do now to prevent these mandates and these restrictions and all manner of tyranny, that actually thinking what's next and how do we actually lay the groundwork for the future hadn't even struck my thoughts at that point. I mean, it has emerged, obviously, subsequent to that, the peak of the tyranny subsiding. But I remember watching the content from the first virtual summit. I thought, wow, these guys are really switched on. You know, they're really understanding. You know, they're very quick to the root problem. And the more I've got to know Derek and John Bush and various people involved, you know, this isn't their first rodeo. You know, they have long been talking about the technocratic takeover. And whilst, you know, I've been skeptical of global organizations, of governments and politics and all manner of things since a very young age, the depth of the work that they have done on all manner of issues has become enlightening to me. You know, this period of the last 4 years has been really illuminating. So I really was fascinated by what they put together and the strength of the ideas that they were developing about how we could create counter economies, how we can, you know, reclaim authority on a local level, you know, this level of subsidiarity where we can start to actually organize ourselves in a way that is free from the kind of state formations and the way that we can actually break free from essentially every big industry, which is something I've always been passionate about. How do we break free from big tech, big finance, big food, big ag, big pharma, of course, big medicine? And the entire event is really about how we break free from all of those big industries, but also the technocratic nature of the kind of governance structures that have emerged. So it was just mind-blowing talk after mind-blowing talk and this scope of insight. So I've been tracking the event since the very beginning. And again, I think an event that I probably met you at, James, when you came to speak at the Better Way in Bath. And in fact, we're going back to the same venue. It's actually by chance rather than by design. But I also met Derek Burrows there for the first time and obviously wanted to interview him about his experiences with the Greater Reset and the Freedom Cell networks that he'd helped to set up with John Bush, just out of deep curiosity about the things that they've been able to blaze a trail with. And we had a really strong connection and we both admired each other's talks at that event. And Derek kindly invited me to join the event in Mexico this year. So I flew out to Morelia to speak. And once again, my mind was just blown by how far ahead, in fact, many of the Central Americas and South Americas, because of course, getting hosted in Mexico, you get people traveling from America, South America, Central America. Very different environment to what we have here in the United Kingdom, which may be why they are further ahead, particularly on some of the counter economics, because you know they've not only lived through double digit inflation, you know, and some of them have had like 1,000% inflation, you know, which really rips a hole in your pocket very quickly. I just sat there immersing myself in all of these different strategies and solutions, practical solutions. You know, it's not people talking about what went wrong during COVID. There was, in fact, none of that. You know, none of that. In fact, one of the speakers I know was going to talk about, you know, who are all the individuals and organizations that orchestrated the COVID machine. And he said, no, don't talk. We've heard enough about that. Let's talk about what we can do about that. So it was just talk after talk, workshop after workshop. And I said, we have to, you know, Europe is crying out for this type of thinking because we're still really in that kind of resistance level. We're still in resistance. And in some way, we're still clinging on to the story of what's just gone before us and trying to make sense of why that happened. And we're not paying enough attention yet, in my view, on how we laid the groundwork beyond this. And I think it's the perfect fit for where we're at in our evolution post-COVID. So I think the timing is fantastic, not only in terms of where we are now post, you know, the pandemic response, but also in light of what's happening in the UN, you know, in the same way that we saw that counter reaction with the greater reset to the great reset, we really do need our summit of the future to counter the UN's summit of the future. And again, look at how we change things from the grassroots up.
You know, I think that is so important because one thing that we can learn from these globalists and technocrats and people who are trying to consolidate control over the planet is that they are very good at long-term strategic thinking and organizing and getting together. Despite differences that may exist within their ranks, they get together, they organize, they plan, they have long-term visions, and they work towards those visions. And they break them down into goals, and they make sure everyone's doing their part. Whereas on the other side, it seems like we're always just scrambling, responding, reacting, at the very best, just essentially reacting instead of actually proactively doing anything. So that is why I think this is important. Even detached from specifically what's happening there in Bath and the People's Reset, just the idea that I hope other people will take up and start using is, yes, we should be setting our own agenda and setting our own goals and thinking about how to bring that vision into existence. That is the way that things actually happen in the world. And we can see that. We can see the dark side of that. Why don't we ourselves bring the light side of that? So on that note, let's talk about the People's Reset Conference that's going to be taking place there in Bath. As I say, 24 speakers, 27 plus workshops, 3 plus gatherings organized around 5 themes: liberate mind, body, and soul, permaculture and food independence, agorism and parallel networks, empowering technology, and building free and conscious communities. So, Dan, tell us about some of the speakers who are going to be there, some of the things that you're going to be talking about.
Yeah, well, given the success of the events in both the United States and Mexico, and the kind of ethos and culture that had developed around the event in its inception, we wanted to make sure that we capture that and bring that energy with the event to the United Kingdom. So we've been very deliberate in bringing some of the key people to Europe and the United Kingdom for this event so we can set that scene. So of course, you know, the founding team really of Derek Brose and Miriam Gomez and John Bush, Rebecca Bush are all joining us. Hakim's joining us as well to talk about technology and various others that have been key people within the setup in Mexico. And I'm really pleased we've been able to do that, having experienced it firsthand, because they bring a set of perspectives and insights that are unique to those parts of the world, but also are entirely relevant across borders. So I'm really pleased we've been able to do that. And we're actively, you know, as you're reading out what we've got in store, and it really reminds me of how much work goes into these types of events, which in many ways is done on the basis that we inspire the same in others. Because when you think about a rally or a protest, going back to what we were saying in the build-up, anyone can attend a protest. Yes, okay, there's travel. There may be costs involved to do that. Anyone can sign a petition or make their voice heard online. But when you come to an event like this, this is about really active participation. It's yes, you're going there to learn. You're going there to study. You're going there to make sense of how you can find a place in this madness and play your role. But that's really what we're there to do. We're there to place a mirror for people to look in and say, who am I and what do I want to do? Because you'll notice online, people say when things are happening, when the craziness is unfolding, that the phrase is, what can we do? And it's depersonifying it from oneself. It's putting out to the collective, who's going to do something about this? You know, whereas this event is really designed in concept to say, here's a menu of choices. Here's a range of things that people have learned and trialed and are experiencing. Why don't you try them on for size? So if you're interested in breaking free from Big Pharma and the dependencies on Big Pharma, how do you take control of your health naturally? You know, how do you find out how to truly prevent? You know, preventative healthcare isn't all about injections, as the WHO would have you believe. It's actually about living a full and nourishful life. So we outline through our speakers, you know, different approaches that you can undertake. And no one is going there to say, this is the way. You know, this isn't the single path to natural health. It's about presenting a range of choices, but also in the context of the world that we live in right now. It's not just about physical health, it's about mental and emotional health and how we can actually become more resilient to what's going on. So we're bringing speakers together to help people make sense of the information landscape that we're in so we can navigate it more effectively. We're looking at how we can actually take control of our food supply. You know, there's lots of different speakers, including Charles Dowding, who's joining us, who's the founder of the No Dig movement. He is like the hero of permaculture and food growing in the United Kingdom. You know, he's really one of the aspirational characters. And here's the brilliant thing about this type of event. You will come to the event and hear speakers you've never heard of. That was my experience going to Mexico. I went completely with an open mind. Everyone knows the COVID heroes, as they're called now, you know, the activists. However, many of those activists are fully in the resistance, which is why they're not there looking at, or some of them are now, you know, many of us have been on that journey and are now saying, well, how do we move forward from this? But we're really bringing speakers who are actively engaged in the solutions and how we can actually break free from these big industries. So I think that's the key message I want to give it. And again, it's we're trying to bring a culture that isn't about the headline speakers. You know, it's, of course, it helps to have people who are well known and in their industry. And we're talking to some very exciting people on that front. But what we really want to get across is, how do you come to this event and actually come away with practical strategies that you can implement at home when you go home? Not only strategies you can implement, James, but actually, you know, many people have felt isolated during this last few years. How do you not only form new connections at these events, but actually learn the skills of forming similar groups through the Freedom Cells and Freedom Communities when you're home, so that you have places to go to? And how do you do so in a way that doesn't further contribute to this crazy polarized world that we live in? So it's a learning experience. It's an engaging experience, but it's really the reason why Derek calls it an activation is because it's a kind of cross between a seminar and a festival where the you are at the center of it. It's not really about the speakers. It's really about your takeaway and what you will do with it, which is why it's very, I caveated it against resistance, because resistance is easy to show up and, you know, raise a fist and show your anger at something. But it's much harder to take responsibility for the change you want to see in the world. So we've set this entire event up in order to kind of help you understand how where you fit in this changing world and how you can contribute to it without it being prescriptive in this centralized fashion that we're going up against. So it's really about embodying the principles of decentralization and grassroots change, bottom-up change, inspiring that that inspiration within each of us to be, to borrow a well-used term, to be the change we want to see. And ultimately, James, you know, what happens as a result of that, and what I believe is important and not just happening at the People's Reset, but beyond the People's Reset, is what we're really doing here. And, you know, we're really tackling the culture and worldview that underpins the like of the UN, because this planetary emergency that is effectively going to be declared or could be declared is formulated by the Club of Rome, and they've been the doomsday cult since, you know, the inception. So we actually need to change the story of humanity right now. We've got young people, young children, who think they have no future because that's what they've been told. So whilst on a practical level, we've got to get to work and actually figuring out how we take care of our health, how we grow our own food, because food supply is at risk, as we know. But how do we start to actually engage people in developing a world whereby people actually value freedom and informed choice and liberty once again, and to do so in a way that is connected, so that, you know, this, all the false smears of it being like, you know, freedom as a selfish notion, it's total nonsense. How do we break that perception down? Well, I can tell you, come to an event like this and you'll see the connection between us from across all manner of different parts of the world, yet we are going there to figure out how we can solve some of the problems that we're actually grappling with on a local, national, and international level, without the need for this overarching global governance structure. We're actually looking to remove power from those structures by taking that power back upon our own shoulders, back within ourselves. Because actually, my belief, James, on why this is necessary now is we can blame the global elite, but actually we've given them power. You know, we've given it away. We've given away responsibility. We live in this age of convenience and simplicity, and we're here at the People's Reset. Sorry, I've gone on a total rant. we're there to send the message that if we want things to change, we have to pull up our sleeves and do it. And that's really what the event is about. So for those people at home who are ready to be part of something that's going to really change things, because that's what people are really looking for. You know, we don't want these temporary acts of resistance. They're useful and helpful, as you stated, and I do think they have a strategic importance, but really things don't change until we change them. And this event is about giving people the frameworks and understanding of possibilities. You know, it's not complete. It's you know, it's a selection. You know, 24 speakers, 27 workshops will give you a flavor of what's possible. But what we really want to happen is next year people come back and say, hey, I made all these changes and I've made a difference, and that inspired someone in your local community to do the same. That's how a ripple effect is created. So I know I haven't gone into depth on individual speakers, but to me, I wanted to make the point, it's not really about individual speakers. It's about what we're there to understand and learn how to do.
Preach it, brother. Everything you say, yes. I think, was absolutely on point. And yes, people who are interested, I will throw in the link, obviously, to the greaterreset.org website, where you can find the speakers and the workshops and all of that. But as you make a number of important points there, one of which is, you're exactly right, in the comments section where people are saying, what can we do about this? Oh, you know, they've already won. Generally, people are using kind of the opposite of the royal we. It's not we as in me, it's we as in you. What can we do about this means, what can you guys do about this for me? And I think, yes, it may sound like a simple, just a little vocabulary sort of change, but it's an important one. Instead of what can we do, the question should always be, what can I do? What can I do about this? What can I do to contribute to the solution? And that's a more productive way of thinking about it. Another thing that you bring up is that there are interpersonal dynamics that always come up whenever people get together, and that will absolutely happen at the People's Reset and everywhere else where human beings come together. And sometimes people rub each other the wrong way, or they do not get along, or they agree on 99.9%, but by God, that 0.1% we disagree on is going to be the death of both of us. We're going to just scrap it out until one of us is victorious. It is unfortunately true that it often tends to devolve that way, but if we don't overcome that, in the same way that the elitists and those who seek to rule over us often discard their differences to come together on agenda issues that they find important. If we can't find a way to do that, then we've already lost. So that's important. And thirdly, you raise the incredibly important point. How are we going to create a real, true alternative to these top-down systems of centralized control if we're just echoing and copying that format and that idea? So yes, somehow this type of resistance movement has to be not just be about, but actually be structured in a decentralized way that puts individual sovereignty and human freedom at its core. So yes, not concentrating on the star speakers, but concentrating on the people who go and what they can do with the information they get out of it is probably the right way to put that emphasis. And so I'm glad to hear you say that. Having said all of that, I'm sure people are interested in how they can actually attend if they are able to get to Bath in England in September of this year. So tell people about how they can actually attend.
Yes, so as you mentioned, the best place to get all the information about the event, and by the way, the speakers and the workshops, we're still actively booking those right now. And again, this is a participatory experience in itself. So we've taken suggestions from all across Europe and the United Kingdom for people who are attending this event, telling us, what would you like to learn, and who are some of the best people out there right now doing these things. So you can still actively get involved with that process. And plus, if you're actively developing solutions yourself, or you'd like to run a workshop, when you go to the greaterreset.org, you'll see how you can actually submit a workshop that you can deliver yourself. So I just wanted to add that in there as well. So the greaterreset.org is where you'll find all the latest information about the event. We're always adding new information on there because right now there's a certain cost of living situation in the United Kingdom. So we're actually pointing out that, there's some towns nearby Bath that might be more affordable to stay in if there's budget constraints, et cetera. But we've laid out all the ticket options for you there as well. We encourage everyone to come if you can for the full event, because we've designed it again across these five themes as a bit of a journey so that you can actually get a holistic overview of the different challenges we're facing, the different possible solutions. But we do understand that, people have got work, children, et cetera, budgetary constraints. So there are day tickets available, a limited number of day tickets available as well now. So if you're going to buy a day ticket, you can have a look at the different themes that are happening across the 3 days and pick the ones that resonate with you most keenly. So all the details on how to grab your tickets are on there. And again, this is entirely a participatory process. So as I said, you can apply to deliver a workshop. We'd also love your help in starting a freedom cell, as Derek and John call it. We might call it freedom groups in the UK. Whatever you want to call it, start getting people together in your neighborhood, in your local area, to actually start discussions around these five themes. Because really, this is not only about decentralization, it's also about bringing the conversation home. And why not start now? Start looking at how you can start to address these five themes. So when you come to the event in September, that's only going to be accelerated. And plus, you can share the event locally and start really practicing what you're expecting to learn before you get there. So we kind of really trying to turn this into a movement, James, before it even begins, because this is the first time we're bringing it to the UK. It's the inaugural European event, and already people are already talking about where's the next one. Portugal, Germany, there's lots of different requests. Let's do the UK one first and get this one out of the way. But great to see that momentum, and really we want to build on that. And your point, James, I really want to come back to a point you made. Many people in our movement kind of rally against this idea of identity politics, yet we have to look ourselves in the mirror and catch ourselves. I mean, I sent out an email yesterday and people picked up on one word, and it's like, I can't follow you anymore because you used that word. Or like, I don't agree with your perspective. It wasn't, we don't want, to me, the ultimate dystopia would be coming to an event where we are like drones, all thinking the exact same thing. To me, that is, in fact, if you were to really distill the globalist agenda, it is really homogenous society. If you've read Brave New World, that's what it eventually looks like, is everyone thinking and feeling the same as the ruling leaders. And so we want to model respectful dialogue about different perspectives, because how else are we going to bridge the gap between ourselves and our families, our friends, our communities, our colleagues? So at this time, when people are literally at each other, like warring with each other as a war of ideologies, we have to find a way to break through that. And, whilst we are there with a very clear set of objectives, and that shapes the kind of tone of the event and what we'll cover, the idea that we'll all think and feel the same is crazy. We're all unique beings. So there's a place for everyone at this event, even if they're just new to the concept of what's going on. This is a really great place to actually not only explore how you can be part of the solution, but actually how you can improve the quality of your own life. We love the idea of, people coming back in 12 months' time saying, I learned how to get healthier. I started growing my own food. That's what this is about. So yeah, all of that information is going to be at thegreaterreset.org. You know, pick your ticket. I would say book your accommodation sooner rather than later. Again, I used to live in Bath. I think prices do get quite expensive, but there are neighboring towns which are more affordable and they're on the train line, so it's super easy. And again, all that information will be on the website. Plus now, James, we've got a Telegram channel so that, you know, people can start talking about lift sharing, forming connections already. So, you know, we're starting to build some excitement within there. And we invite you, whether you're going to join us or not, come and be part of the ecosystem. You know, come and join the Telegram channels and, you know, pay attention to what's going on, because it's going to be live streamed. So, you know, even James sitting in Japan can watch live. It might be during the middle of the night. I have to make sense of the time. but, you know, we are streaming it for free across the world. So, you know, make sure you join the newsletter to be able to get access to that live stream, and hope to see you there.
All right. Excellent. Well, I think we have covered the bases on this. As I say, Bath, UK, 27th to 29th, September 2024. And all of the details will be at thegreaterreset.org. And of course, I'll have the links to everything that we've cited today in the show notes for this episode. But before we go, Dan, how about yourself specifically? If people are interested in finding out more about yourself and your work, where can they follow you?
Yeah, well, regrettably, most of our stuff is currently on YouTube, where we're once again coming up against the censorship machine. So we are actively decentralizing our own content. But if you go onto any of the major social or video platforms and just type in my name, Dan Esten Gregory, you'll find it. We're about to relaunch danestengregory.com, where we're going to update that, because it's about 4 or 5 years out of date now, because we've just been so relentlessly focused on content. But yeah, just type my name into any of the main platforms. We're going to be doubling down on Rumble for now, because that's a place where we can speak freely. But we're putting out 2 interviews a week at the moment, and I'm putting out a lot more content about what's happening at the Greater Reset and the themes. And we'll be interviewing loads of the speakers that are going to be featured there, so you can get a sense of what's coming. So yeah, do check that out. And appreciate you mentioning that, James.
No problem at all. It's good to make your acquaintance. I hope this will not be our last chance to connect. But for the meantime, we'll leave it here for today. Dan Esten Gregory, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, James.